Well, good morning, and thank all of you for being here. We do appreciate everyone that's here. Some are out sick today, and we pray that they'll be better and be back with us tonight if they can. Brethren, there are some sermons that need to be preached over and over during a period of time, and this is one of them. I last preached this sermon back in April of 2015, and I've preached this sermon every year since I've been here, and I intend to do so every year that I am here. I hope that none of us ever get tired or get to the point where we take the local church or the local congregation for granted. We must remember that God is the one who set the system up. Man did not. Turn to Acts the 9th chapter, if you would. Acts chapter 9, and we'll look at verse 26. Identification with a local church was a practice in New Testament days, and one example is seen in Acts 9 and verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. And I ask you, do we all know and appreciate the blessings of being a part of a congregation that is working? A congregation that is at peace, a congregation that loves each other, and most importantly, a congregation that loves the Lord. I believe we have that here at Prairie Village. I ask you, do we really appreciate this? In order to realize this blessings, we need a sense of obligation to Prairie Village, the church, the body of Christ here. So if you have not placed membership or have been identified with a local congregation, you must do so to be in the faith. If there's anyone here this morning who desires to become a member of the Prairie Village Church of Christ, or if there's anyone here this morning that has left the Prairie Village congregation and wants to come back and work with this congregation, God has made provisions for you to do either or both. So let's spend our time this morning talking about the local church and what I owe to it, or what you and I owe to the local church. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Acts, the 8th chapter. Now, the New Testament, the church is spoken of in two senses. It is first spoken of in the universal sense, referring to all of the saved. The Hebrew writer referred to it as the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. We read about that in Hebrews 12:23. When Jesus said, "I will build my church," in Matthew 16:18, it was of the church in the universal sense that he was speaking. And when Paul speaks of being baptized into one body, he was speaking of the church universally. In Acts 2:47, the Bible tells us, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So when an individual renders his or her obedience to the gospel and receives remission from their sins, they are added by the Lord to the church in the universal sense to the body of the saved. Look with me at Acts 8, if you would, and let's read verses 35 through 39. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. When the eunuch came up out of the water, he was saved and added to the one body of the saved, to the church in the universal sense. Now, this body of Christ, this church in the universal sense, has no obligation to meet together, has no authority to appoint worldwide officers, has no authority to collect a treasury or to do anything as a collective body. It does exist solely as a spiritual entity that denotes spiritual connection. Now, the Bible indicates that only the Lord knows the number of its members, and only He can add to or take away their names from that list which would be the same as the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's read together 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, if you would. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. Now Paul wrote in verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." Now if you would turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3, and let's look at verse 5 there. Revelation 3 and verse 5, which tells us, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Now, there are individual activities that we are to do because of our relationship to Christ in this universal body. I am a Christian, part of the universal church, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and every action in my life should reflect who and what I am. And as a Christian, I vote, I work, I function as a citizen of my country, I perform as a husband and a father, and do all the other activities, always realizing that Christ lives in me. Look at Galatians 2:20 with me in these beautiful words. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul wrote in Galatians 2 and verse 20, he says, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I think these are some of the most beautiful words in all of Scripture. All of this is related to the universal church, and the Christian's place in it is true. But there's another sense in which the word church is used in the New Testament. That is in the local sense, as in the local congregation. We read of the church of God, which is at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. We read of Paul receiving support from churches in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 8. And we read of the churches of Galatia in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1. Now, all of this indicates locality, speaking of a church in a local sense as a local congregation. I may leave one local congregation as I move to another city or place and join another there, while never ceasing to be a Christian nor ceasing to belong to the church in the universal sense. Now, we read earlier of Paul in Acts 9, verse 26, seeking to join himself to the disciples in Jerusalem. So, what was he doing there? Well, he was seeking to identify with the local church there. It is clear from the New Testament that God expects all Christians to belong to a local congregation and to worship and work within that group. He expects it. Now, there are some responsibilities that I have as a member of a local church that are additional to the ones that I have as a member of the universal church. Now, the question to you is, what then do I owe to the church of which I am a member? What do I owe to the congregation here at Prairie Village? Well, the first thing I would like to mention is this. As a member of the Prairie Village, I owe this local congregation the same kind of allegiance that I give to the Lord, because Prairie Village is the body of Christ in this place. And as you know what, brethren, as you know, in a local congregation or in any local congregation, there are people who are not perfect. This may come as a shock to you, but there are people who are not perfect. As a matter of fact, everybody in every local congregation is not perfect. But I have to be able to remember that the church is a divine institution made up of humans, and that there are going to be problems from time to time because of this truth. And I don't know about you, but whenever I think of a church having troubles, I think of the Corinthian church. Now, there was a congregation with some very, very serious problems. And I'm going to give you these problems that the church at Corinth had chapter by chapter. And if you want to read, get them later on, I'd be glad to give them to you. But in chapter 1, we read about a bad case of preacheritis. Chapter 5, we read of incest being tolerated in the church. In chapter 6, it is a sad story of brethren going to law or to court against each other. In chapter 7, there's marriage problems. In chapters 8 and 10, problems some were having, making the complete separation with understanding from idolatry. In chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, some were denying Paul's apostleship. In chapter 11, they were abusing the Lord's Supper. In chapters 12 through 14, they were abusing the miraculous spiritual gifts, demonstrating pride and a lot of other improper attitudes. In chapter 14 again, the problem of women acting out of place in the assemblies, and in chapter 15, some were denying the resurrection. Now, my friends, this was a congregation with serious, serious problems. But Paul didn't give up on it and just go running away because of its internal struggles. No, he chose to seek to work out their serious problems to help them correct their sins. He addressed them as the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Indeed, the Bible does teach the necessity of being in fellowship with other Christians in a local congregation. We need that fellowship with other local congregations. That's why we have meetings, gospel meetings, and that's why they have gospel meetings where we visit each other. There is no such thing in the New Testament as a floating membership. I seriously doubt that under normal circumstances, God recognizes as faithful of anyone who refuses to settle down with the local group. Neither is anything such as membership back home. It is simply not scriptural to attend one congregation for years while claiming membership somewhere else. We need local membership because we need association with the saints, as we read in Acts 2:42. We need oversight of the elders, as we see in Acts 20 and verse 28. And we need scriptural discipline, we read about in Galatians 6, verses 1 and 2. And we need collective worship, Acts 20 and verse 7. And we need service in the church, Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. We receive many blessings from our membership in a local congregation. However, these benefits come only when we discharge our obligations as members. And as members, we must make sure the truth is taught, as we read about in Ephesians 5:14. As members, we are told to obey the elders, Hebrews 13 and verse 17. As members, we ought to live righteous as example to others, Matthew 5 verses 14 through 16. As members, we are to admonish our brethren, 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. As members, we are commanded to maintain unity and harmony, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. And as members, we give of our means, 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. As members, we are asked to participate in the program of work here, Ephesians 2, 10. And finally, as members, we are required to attend all assemblies possible, Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. Now, secondly, I owe to the body of Christ here at Prairie Village the exhortation that we all mutually need to remain strong and steadfast. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10 with me, if you would. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23 and 24, familiar passages. We most all of us know this by heart. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Brethren, there are so many obstacles in our walk with the Lord. Each of us can become discouraged. Each of us can weaken a little bit, and we can get tired. But the Lord knew that, and he made provisions in the local church for us to help one another. It is so interesting to me that even animals in nature understand that there's strength and protection in numbers. Did you know that when quail nest, they do so on the ground in a circle, several of them together and protecting one another? Well, I don't mind telling you that many of the times when I need help of those of like precious faith, it's a tremendous blessing that we fail to receive. A tremendous blessing that we fail to provide when we do not come, when we fail to be with other Christians, exhorting and being exhorted. And as you know, the world is constant in its exhortation through television and through the radio. The worldliness of fellow employees, the sinful environment to which we are exposed daily. The world is like a river running over a stone of faith. It can just slowly wear it away. And we need to have it constantly renewed. My brethren here at Prairie Village need it, and so do I. The third thing that we owe, or I owe, to the Prairie Village congregation is faithful attendance to its work. Now, this includes participation in all of its efforts, but especially so in opportunities to worship. Now, we didn't continue in our reading of Hebrews 10 just a moment, but we could have certainly gone on and read verses 25 through 27. Let's do that now. Hebrews 10, verse 25 through 27. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Did you notice something here? Did you notice that just to decide not to attend an assembling of ourselves together is called sinning willfully? Have you ever thought about that? That's pretty serious business, brethren. So I ask you, why don't you come to church every time you can or should? And if you don't, you're sinning willfully. Show me a one-hour-only week Christian, and you'll be looking at a Christian who could be a whole lot stronger than he or she is. And from the ranks of those who attend but 1 hour a week or a month or less, don't come elders, don't come preachers, and don't come Bible class teachers. I can assure you of that. They cannot be depended on for any kind of work on a regular basis. Paul exhorted us in 1 Corinthians 15:58 when he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Such individuals are steadfast only in their lack of effort. Have you ever noticed that all these folks expect the building to be open, to be cool, to be heated, to be clean, and to be paid for? They expect all the services to be manned by those who see that the job is completed, but they themselves cannot be counted on to help in any of those areas. In every congregation, there are a few that live so distant from the work and the members that the doors could be shut for a month and they'd never know it. These passages that we just looked at clearly indicate the will of God touching the matter of public worship. Then why is it so neglected? Why is it so neglected? In every congregation, there are some members who view such gatherings as entirely optional. How sad. But God certainly does not believe worship to Him as optional. There are some who will go to service if they have nothing else to do. They will be absent because of ball practice, extracurricular school functions, family reunions or family holiday gatherings or whatever. Some who are careful to attend a Sunday morning service will skip other opportunities to worship the same God and learn more of His Word. Why is that? Such behavior is rebellious against the God of glory. It places the convenience of the worship above the true object of worship. In essence, it says, "I know what the Lord says, but I think," and you can fill in the blanks. How does it compare with the early disciples of the Lord that we read about in Acts 2:42? Let's look at that. Acts 2 and verse 42. The Bible says in Acts 2 and verse 42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Brethren, they never quit. They never gave up. They kept going and going. However, this is not to say that we should not be interested in work at other places, nor is it always wrong to be attending somewhere beside the local church. It's all right and even necessary at times to be away and visit occasionally with other churches. But no Christian should do so to the neglect of his responsibilities at home because of the biblical emphasis on the essentiality of the local church membership. This is especially true in a small congregation like here at Prairie Village. But I remind you that it was not easy for our Lord to leave his heavenly existence, to take the form of a servant, to suffer the toils of a peasant existence, and then to endure the indignities of his trial and the agony of the cross. Would you do this for him or for sinful mankind? Would you do that? You need to think twice maybe before you answer that one. But let's just consider, what if he had gone to a family reunion that day? What if that would have made him miss a great sporting event? What if he was just too tired to come to services and that was his only day off? The fourth point I want to make is, I owe Prairie Village my financial support. God doesn't need our money. He owns the world. However, it is obviously required by the Lord that faithful Christians support the work of the Lord with their money. Over and above opportunities of giving and good works that we can do for individuals, we are commanded, not just a suggestion, but as a command to support the local treasury. We're all familiar with 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2 as well as 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. When we give, we are giving to the Lord, brethren. We're giving to the Lord. Surely Acts chapter 5, the account of Ananias and Sapphira makes that very clear. But you may ask, does the church need it? Does the church need the money? Of course the church needs it. Prairie Village will always have a need because of the Lord expects us to be involved in evangelism, teaching those who are already saved and benevolence for the saints in need. There will never be a surplus of money above that need, not here where the saints are interested in doing the work that the Lord gave us to do and not in hoarding up money. As a member of Prairie Village, you and I have a responsibility. Yes, brethren, we have a responsibility, but also it is a privilege to share in the support of this great work. There's one more thing I would like to mention that you owe the Prairie Village Church of Christ as a member here. You and I owe this local congregation a proper attitude toward each and every member of it. I need to love my brethren, and not in word only, but in deed. We hear and we know of congregations that are split and divided by animosities and fussings within them. But we all owe to the Lord and to the brethren to do as Paul commanded in Ephesians 4 and verse 3 when he wrote these words, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, please. Brethren, there is a joy of brotherhood and a blessing of unity that ought to prevail in a local congregation, one that is free of factions and strife. And this congregation will continue to function free of factions and strife as long as we all remember to adhere to Paul's exhortation in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And let's read that. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, I'm only one, and you're only one, but this one is important. We will each stand before God in a judgment, and we will each give an account of what we have done. And I know all of us here is desire to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and we will hear it when we have used our ability to the glory of God. Many Christians are not fervently for the Lord, nor are they against Him. They simply become indifferent towards Him and His cause. They're called lukewarm by the Lord, and it is said God will spew them out of His mouth in Revelation 13, verses 15 and 16. Listen to me now, please. Life is regularly drained from the local church because of membership indifference. Membership indifference. Please, please think about that. Now I want to go to one last passage. If you would, come with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Brethren, too many of us just simply will not listen to the admonition of the Lord. And when Peter gave what we call the Christian graces, he concluded by writing in verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure." He says, "For if you do these things, you shall never fall." If you do these things, you will never fall. Then you'll hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Brethren, God in His infinite wisdom has provided this congregational local setting for His people so that we may grow together, encourage and be encouraged together, worship in peace and harmony together, and get a foretaste of heaven itself together. So I ask you, if you're not a Christian, we plead and we beg with you to come forward this morning repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You then will be added to the Lord's church by the Lord Himself, and then you can declare a desire to be a working member of Prairie Village. And if there's anyone here this morning who has left their first love and they want to come back, you can take care of that this morning if you've sinned in a way that others are aware of. You can take care of this morning by coming forward and letting us pray with you and pray for you. Then you too will be a member in good standing in the Lord's church. If we can help anyone make their life right this morning, please come as we stand and as we sing.